Let us bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your holy word. We know that that word is truth. And we ask you to teach us by your Holy Spirit this day. Cause your word to come into our minds and to pierce our hearts. Cause it, Lord, we pray by the Spirit, to convict us of our sins. Cause it to create in us even a greater faith and dependence upon Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. Galatians 2, 11 through 21, let us hear God's holy word. Now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face, because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, "If you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law died to the law, that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain." And thus we end the reading of God's holy word. And I ask you this question this morning, which is the title of my message, "Did Christ die in vain?" Of course, we know that the answer to that question is no. But have you ever done anything in vain? Have you ever worked really hard on a project and find that you had worked in vain? Have you ever loved in vain? You know what it means when something is in vain. You may have thought that you worked hard to do good to someone in vain because of their response to you or lack thereof. In verse 21, which is my text, we come to this question. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. And we know that Christ didn't die in vain. But what's the problem? What's the problem that Paul addresses? He is talking about in this paragraph, or in these two paragraphs, well, three in my Bible. In these paragraphs, Paul is talking about this confrontation he had with Peter. And he's talking about how Peter knew that justification was by faith without works. And so when Peter went from Jerusalem to Antioch and met the Gentile Christians there, he was at first having good fellowship with the Gentile Christians, knowing that they were just as acceptable to God as he was, even without circumcision. But then some other brothers came from Jerusalem to Antioch, and when they came, Peter withdrew fellowship with the Gentile Christians. And he was giving the message when he did that, that Gentiles should be circumcised because he was giving into the circumcision party, these men from Jerusalem who visited in Antioch were of the circumcision party. And so Paul addresses this in these paragraphs in this section of Scripture, and Paul rebukes Peter. Which brings us to the theme of this letter, which is justification by faith and not by works, which Paul hammers out throughout this letter and in this paragraph. We are justified before God through faith in Jesus Christ and nothing else, not by any works. In justification, God pardons our sins and accepts us as righteous in His sight through the righteousness of Christ, which is imputed to us or applied to our account that we receive by faith. God pardons our sins and accepts us as righteous, even though we're not, because the righteousness of Christ counts for us. And so in verse 21, Paul says, I do not set aside the grace of God. By His grace, I have faith in Christ. I do not set aside that grace. For if righteousness comes through the law, through what I do, then Christ died in vain. So we are led to this question. In what circumstances could we say, might we say, from what viewpoint could we ever even think that Christ died in vain? That's one of the things we want to think about this morning. Christ, the God-man, the only begotten Son of God, came to this earth, lived a perfect life. Why did the perfect man, the God-man Jesus, have to die? And did He die in vain, or did He accomplish what He intended to accomplish when He died? The truth is, Christ did not die in vain, and we must not ignore His death or misunderstand it. For if we do, we harm ourselves. We must, through the Scriptures and the illumination of the Spirit, understand the grace of God and the meaning of Christ's death. So let's consider, did Christ die in vain? First of all, do you set aside the grace of God? Paul says in verse 21, I do not set aside the grace of God. Do you? Do you set aside God's grace? You know, sometimes we set aside things, we're working on something, and the phone rings. And we answer the phone. So we set aside our work that we're working on for the moment and we answer the phone call and take care of that. Do you set aside the grace of God for anything? And by the way, what is the grace of God? We know, of course, that it's God's unmerited favor by which He saves us and brings us into His family and into His kingdom. Ephesians 2:8 says, For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Ephesians 2, verse 8. By God's grace, we have faith. Romans 3:24 says, Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Romans 3:24, we are justified by His grace, which gives us faith. And besides that, each day the Christian lives by grace. Christ gives us grace upon grace, grace and more grace for the things we face every day. Christ continues to furnish us with grace. Through God's Word preached to you, you receive grace. Through prayer, you receive grace. Through the sacraments, If you observe them in faith, you receive grace. Do not set aside the grace of God. Well, how might you do that? How might you set aside the grace of God, or make it void, or consider it unimportant, or disregard the grace of God? Many people think they can live happily without the grace of God. They are deceived. Does the Christian set aside the grace of God? Well, you see, Peter set aside the grace of God when he withdrew fellowship with the Gentile Christian. And for that one act, of which we are sure he repented, he set aside the grace of God. And he acted as though these Gentile Christians weren't worthy of his fellowship, that they needed to go through circumcision. So he undermined, set aside the grace of God. And many Jewish Christians did in the first century, and they kept saying, "Oh, you Gentiles, you Gentile men, you have to be circumcised before you can come into the church." So they set aside the grace of God and considered works to be more important. But when it comes to justification before God, grace and works are opposites. They're not supplementary. When it comes to justification before God, they are opposites. They oppose each other. And that is why in Romans 11:6, Paul says, "And if by grace, then it is no longer of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. But if it is of works, it is no longer grace. Otherwise, work is no longer work." Romans 11:6. Grace and works oppose each other in the matter of justification. If we are to appear before God, it must be by grace and not works. Paul says, "I do not set aside the grace of God. I do not shove the grace of God out of the way." He believes in the grace of God. He believes and knows that the grace of God is that which God used to bring him faith and justify him. He does not depend on his works anymore to justify him, which he formerly did. But now he does not set aside the grace of God. He depended on the grace of God in Christ. And the question is, do you? Do you depend on the grace of God in Jesus Christ? When I was a teenager, one of the things I had opportunity to do was to make a little money by mowing lawns. And the lawns where I grew up were very large. Our property, for example, was 1 acre. And part of that property we used as a garden, so thank God we didn't have to mow the garden. But nevertheless, that left a pretty big lawn to mow. And one of our neighbors requested that I mow her lawn, and hers was bigger than ours, even. But it brought in big pay in those days, in the mid-60s, because she wrote me a check for $2.50 when I finished. And that was good for a teenager in those days. So I went over to see Mrs. Hutton, and Mrs. Hutton showed me around. She showed me things to avoid and so on. Lo and behold, she had about 50 bushes in her yard. The enemy of the lawnmower. You have to trim around every one. And flower beds and da 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 da. Anyway, she showed me around, and so when she finished, I said, "Where would you like me to start?" And her answer surprised me so much, I still remember it. Her answer was, "I don't like to tell people how to do their own job." And so here was this big yard all around the house, you know. And she said, "You decide." I had lots of options. I could start close to the house, close to the fence on either side, close to the road, or the back mountain. I have plenty of options. But when it comes to justification, you see, you don't have these options. If you set aside the grace of God, you don't get justified before God. There aren't other options. Do you set aside the grace of your heart and think of God and think deep in your heart that you don't do enough to be accepted by God? If you keep on thinking you don't do enough to be accepted by God, you've set aside His grace. You see? Don't you believe Him? Don't you trust Him? Don't you know that He tells you He's gracious? Stop depending on your works for your acceptance with God. Jesus did the work. Depend on His grace. You're making a serious error if you think you can set aside the grace of God. Or after you have come to Christ in faith, do you set aside the grace of God then? And the answer to that question is yes. You do it nearly every day, and so do I, because things come up, and all of a sudden we go into automatic pilot, and we gird up our own strength, and we get the adrenaline flowing. See if I can speak here, and we power up. We try to do these things in our own strength, and we set aside the grace of God. But Christ continues to give us grace for every day. Don't set it aside. Secondly, does righteousness or justification come through the law? In verse 21, Paul says, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Does righteousness or justification come through the law? In order for you to appear before God the Father and be accepted by Him, you have to have righteousness. Because God is too holy and pure to look upon iniquity. And you have to have righteousness, and you have to get rid of your iniquity to have a relationship with God. Does righteousness then come through the law? You are not righteous in yourself, and I am not righteous in myself. So how do I get it? Romans 3, 9 and 10 says, what then? Are we better than they? Are we Jews better than the Greeks? Not at all. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3, 9 and 10, you are not righteous within yourself, and neither am I. How can we go before a God, the God, who is of purer eyes than to behold evil? We have to get rid of the unrighteousness and have righteousness. Can I do that by the law? That's the question. And the answer, of course, is no. Listen to Romans 9, 30 through 32. What shall we say then? The Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith. But Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were by works, the works of the law. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone, Romans 9, 30 through 32. Many of the Jewish people in the first century sought righteousness, sought justification by their works. But they didn't reach it because they stumbled over the stumbling stone, who is Christ. Jesus was offensive to them. and wanted to make their own way. But they couldn't. They tried to bypass Jesus. And it didn't work. We cannot trust in our own works to get us justification. If you think you are justified by the work of baptism, you are wrong. When I first became a Christian, when I was a teenager, I had little regard for the sacraments. I knew that I must be baptized, and I was, and I was happy that I was, and appreciative, but I had little regard for the sacraments. Why is it that the sacraments are so overestimated or so underestimated by God's people? It seems that these little wonderful gifts of God and means of grace are either taken too far or not far enough. You are not justified by baptism. It is a beautiful thing. It is commanded by Jesus Christ. You must do it if you would be obedient to the Lord. It pictures your salvation. It pictures the gospel. It pictures the washing away of your sins. But we know that the water doesn't do that. We know that your sins are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ and not by water. So you can't be justified by baptism. Yes, I could go through the ceremony. Maybe that would make me acceptable to God. That's the right thing to do. I need to be baptized. That's not the way to look at it. You cannot be justified by the Lord's Supper. Oh, you want to partake of the supper. The Christian wants to partake of the supper, and the Christian should, and it's sin not to. But it does not justify us. It is refreshing and wonderful, and it's gracious, and it's fellowship with Jesus and other Christians, and it's commanded. But it's not a justifying work. Or if you or I think that we are justified by doing good deeds for other people, we would again be wrong. I know I must do good. I'm a child of God. I'm supposed to love God and my fellow man. That means I'm supposed to be courteous and kind, loving and helpful to other people, and respectful to God, and honoring to Him in my actions and also in my thoughts and words. Our faith, if it's genuine, will produce good works. The Holy Spirit, if He's living in us, will produce good works. But we're not justified that way. We're not justified. We don't make ourselves acceptable to God. We don't win God's approval for salvation and justification by what we do. And it's a very important distinction. Does righteousness or justification come through the law? And the answer is no. Please understand. It is easy for us to fall back into the default position. The default position is, if you want to go to heaven, you have to earn it. That's the position that every other religion is in, except true Christianity. And it's the religion that has invaded the ranks of Christianity, and people still fall into that default position. I must do good so I can gain favor with God. Do good because you have a new heart, because the Holy Spirit is within you, and because you want to thank your Heavenly Father for His grace. You have His approval through Christ. When God sees you, He sees you through Christ. No, Righteousness doesn't come through the law. Thirdly, under what circumstances could we say that Christ died in vain? Verse 21. I do not set aside the grace of God, Paul says, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. So how in the world could someone say that Christ died in vain? Well, you know, Christ did die. Out of all the things that people do not believe about Jesus, most of them believe He did die. You know, that's not one we have to go hounding about and beating upon, because most people believe that He died. He really did. Trillions and trillions of people have died since God created Adam, the first man. And Jesus Christ was one of them. But He was not only a man, He was a perfect man. Different than anyone else who ever lived on this earth. People question whether Jesus performed miracles. People question whether Jesus is God. But most people don't question whether He died. He did. But why did Jesus die? Of all people in the world who deserve to die, because the wages of sin is death, why in the world then did Jesus die? And the answer, of course, is that Jesus died as a substitute. Jesus died to pay the wages of sin, which is death, for His people. And so we see in Isaiah 53 verses 5 and 6, but He was wounded for our transgressions, He was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement for our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. All God's people. All the elect. Isaiah 53, verses 5 and 6. We should be punished for our sin, but Christ took the punishment for us, and that's why He died. 1 Peter 2:24 says, who Himself bore in His own body on the tree our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, having died for sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. 1 Peter 2:24. By the punishment of Christ, we escaped eternal death and hell. God made Him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. That's why He died. Christ took your sins as His. He is your holy substitute. You were lost. I was lost. Without hope. Without meaning in life. Without true joy. Jesus died to change all that. That's why He died. Why would someone say Christ died in vain? Those who say we are justified by works, they're the ones that would say Christ died in vain. Because they're seeking another way. That would make Christ's death unnecessary. I, through my good, I could tell myself, could reach God, could have a relationship with God, but I would be wrong. I would make Christ's death unnecessary, but I can't do that. If you could earn God's favor, you wouldn't need His grace. But let me ask you this. Do you really think, really, in your heart of hearts, do you really think you can give anything to God that would make Him want save you? Really? Do you really think you could give anything to the mighty God who made you? Romans 11, 33 and 34 says, "For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become His counselor, or who is first given to Him, and it shall be repaid to him." Romans 11, 34 and 35. I want to answer these questions. I want to answer these. These are hypothetical questions, but I want to answer them. Who has known the mind of the Lord? I know some people who think they do. And I'm one of them who has sometimes acted like that. Who has become His counselor? Oh, I know a lot of people who have become the Lord's counselor, or so they thought. And so have I sometimes, to my shame. After all, who is God? And who are you? Christ lived a perfect life and died because we could never save ourselves. We could only say that Christ died in vain if we tried to make ourselves acceptable to the Father by our own works. That's the only reason we would say that. So what have you learned from Galatians 2:21? Did Christ die in vain? No. He died to save His people so that they wouldn't have to do their own works to make themselves acceptable to God. Paul corrected Peter and other Jews who wanted to compromise this truth. It is a great sin. It's a great sin to believe that we can have God's favor without Christ. Have you turned down many gifts lately? Do you turn down gifts that are offered to you? Well, there are some, you know. Get a phone call and you make a mistake by answering it, and someone says, "You just won a free gift." Well, you probably turned that one down. But you don't turn many down, do you? Why is it that we are so hesitant to receive justification by faith? Remember this. The only Redeemer of God's elect is the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't try to go to heaven without Him. Amen. Let us pray.